This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. In Christianity, the Christmas season continues for 12 days after Christmas and ends with the Feast of the Epiphany. That's the time Christians believe the infant Jesus was revealed to be the Son of God. Yesterday, Catholics around the world marked the Epiphany, a reminder of the promise of their faith. That reminder is especially profound right now for many Catholics. 17 years ago, on the Epiphany, the Boston Globe began publishing an exposé about priests in the Boston Archdiocese sexually abusing children and church leaders covering it up. And this past year, there was a stream of painful revelations in the news about violations in the church nationally.
Theodore McCarrick is no longer a cardinal. Pope Francis stripped him of his title over allegations of sexual abuse.
That was in July. A few weeks later, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro announced a grand jury had accused 300 priests in the sex abuse of at least 1,000 children.
Predators in every diocese weaponized the Catholic faith and used it as a tool of their abuse.
In the Boston Archdiocese, two seminarians made allegations of a toxic culture at St. John's Seminary in Brighton. They told of sexual misconduct and intimidation among faculty and seminarians. Cardinal Sean O'Malley launched an inquiry, but he was criticized for appointing church insiders to do it. He later hired a former U.S. attorney to lead the investigation. And then just last month, the Illinois Attorney General announced that hundreds more priests there stand accused of abuse than the church had publicly identified. For some Boston-area Catholics, the litany of revelations compounds their pain.
I wish it had all come out at once. These bits and pieces are doing a job on the church, that's for sure.
Maureen Gannon is a member of St. Bridget Parish in Framingham. She fears that all the good the Catholic Church does gets buried by the bad news. She prays for it all to end, and she gets angry.
I have 14 grandchildren, and I want them to continue as Catholics, and they're not going to do it if this keeps happening.
St. Bridget parishioners who spoke with us say they keep their faith separate from the lapses in the Universal Church. Parishioner Grace Mina.
Those who are wrong, I want them to have the justice that they seek. And I want those who wronged them to be meted out the justice that they deserve. But it does not really affect me with my relationship with the Lord.
It seems like, you know, deja vu all over again, and even worse, with even more pain, I think.
Barbara Thorpe worked for the Boston Archdiocese for 35 years. For a decade, she directed the office that provides pastoral and mental health support to survivors of priest abuse.
We had enough. We knew enough to move forward, and we didn't.
And the "we" refers to who?
The global church.
Thorpe is critical of the church globally for not reforming as the Boston Archdiocese has. Father John Connolly is administrator of a parish in West Roxbury. He says all bishops should have taken Boston's lead in trying to rectify the problems.
This thing is easy to understand how to fix if you take as your prime directive the protection of children.
Connolly previously worked with Cardinal O'Malley. He coordinated the archdiocese's response to priest sex abuse. He and Barbara Thorpe credit the cardinal for helping to right the ship. The archdiocese has instituted yearly criminal background checks on all clergy, staff, and volunteers, and abuse prevention training for employees and Catholic school kids. It mandates that all allegations of abuse get reported to law enforcement, and it publishes the names of accused clergy, though it took almost a decade to make them public.
The culture of silence and secrecy that prevailed for decades is no longer the norm, and that needs to be replicated in the church throughout the world.
Many Catholics felt the church had a chance to chart a new course this past fall. That's when the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops met in Baltimore. The group was planning to vote on protocols for how bishops themselves would be investigated for abuse and held accountable for proper handling of abuse complaints against clergy. But Pope Francis unexpectedly ordered the group to stand down until after bishops from around the world convene at the Vatican next month. The Pope's action was seen as another blow to a church that's a shadow of what it was decades ago. In the past 30 years, more than 100 parishes in the Boston Archdiocese have closed, and the number of people in the pews has steadily declined, as it has nationally. According to the Archdiocese, only about 12% of Catholics here attend Mass.
I started as a deeply religious Catholic coming from a family of deep culture. My mother carved saints.
Daphne Collins of Newton has family roots in Catholicism going back centuries all the way to Spain.
I know my prayers in Spanish and English.
Collins has long wanted the church to allow women and married people to be priests. But the abuse disclosures last summer brought her to the breaking point. She stopped going to Mass.
I really believe that our purpose in life is to know God and to serve others. And yet, here I belong into this organization that is no reflection to all the humanity that belongs to this organization. They say, well, it's going to take a long time for these things to change. It's such an old institution. Well, you know, I'm an old institution. I'm 61. In my lifetime, this is an old time. And it's time for me to just be authentic to myself.
Collins now worships with Quakers in Weston. Carrie Rodriguez of Medford, on the other hand, still attends Mass several times a week at St. Anthony Shrine in downtown Boston.
What happens in this building is faith in action every single day.
The Shrine's mission is rooted in social justice. Rodriguez and her children are part of a church group that hands out food, socks, and scarves to people who are homeless.
Dysfunction that happens in the Catholic Church, the overarching organization, that's a million miles from what is happening in this building. The church and the Roman Catholic organization that was created by men, this work that you're seeing on our street, in this shrine, is the work that we have been called to as Catholics.
That sense of connection to people who are suffering helps keep graduate student Angelo Jesus Canta in the church. He studies theology at Boston College. He only knows a Catholic church in crisis.
When the Pennsylvania grand jury report came out, when the revelations about Cardinal McCarrick and sort of the depth of the corruption and the abuse came out, I was very angry. But the struggle and the anger has not given me enough reason to jump ship.
Studies find about a third of adults who are raised Catholic don't stay Catholic. Helen Drinan is staying with her religion, but she doesn't trust the church.
I think that trust, once lost, is an extremely difficult thing to regain.
Drinan is president of Simmons University. She used to work for the Archdiocese hospital system. She left in a dispute with Cardinal O'Malley over allegations the system's CEO was sexually harassing women staffers. Late last year, Drinan wrote an op-ed in The Globe titled, "This Catholic Has Lost Her Patience with the Church." She questioned why it takes attorneys general in the U.S. to uncover criminal activity by priests, why the church itself isn't doing it, and her anger at the church as an institution extends further.
So much of the church is male-dominated. Women are, I'll use the phrase second-class citizens. I'm not even sure if second-class addresses the real status of women in the church. Let's step back and say, what has made institutions run really, really well? And we know, for example, that diversity in decision-making makes for better decisions. In public companies that have women in the lead, their performance in the marketplace goes up.
Many of the Catholics we spoke with expressed hope that as wrongdoings of the church continue to unravel, they'll lead to a kind of epiphany and rebirth of the church. Boston College theology professor Tom Groom hopes disheartened and dismayed Catholics hold on to their faith.
I think they have to recognize that, yes, their Catholic Church and the structures of it made dreadful mistakes, but that this faith is a deeply life-giving faith. It's the largest educator in the world, a huge social service system. And to simply let go of it, all of that, because our institution has failed us, I think that would be sad.
Barbara Thorpe, the woman who worked with abuse survivors in the Archdiocese, finds reason to be hopeful.
As bad as this new moment is, I think we are more in a time of light than in darkness, because it is the light that's exposing these things that have been hidden and in secret and need to be addressed.
The eyes of the faithful will be on the Vatican late next month. That's when Pope Francis will meet with leading bishops from around the world about the protection of minors.